Thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath. Thank you that we can be here and worship you, and we ask for your presence and a blessing from being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's time for our scripture reading. If you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved.
Has anyone here been adopted? All right, I see three people at least, and if I didn't miss anyone, who've been adopted before. It's a wonderful thing to have someone take you into their family and make you part of the family. We wouldn't know who the McKelveys were if Seth wasn't with them. Part of the family. John's told me about his family before and others. It's a wonderful thing to be accepted and brought in and made a part of a family. What's that?
Chosen.
Yeah, chosen, actually. You know, the text said that we were predestined to be sons and daughters of God. God intends for every single person in Fulton, in New York, in the United States, in the world to be chosen. I'd like us to think about that just a little bit from the standpoint of if God has chosen each one of us, as a child, you don't always get a chance to accept that. You are chosen, and maybe you're chosen at an extremely young age, a couple of days old. As an adult, we get to choose whether we want to be a son or daughter of God. I can think of some stories that I've heard where someone was adopted who had a very troubled life. Bill was adopted, and he'd been in 9 foster homes. Been kicked out of school, done shoplifting. He'd been in a lot of trouble by the time he was 10 years old. Someone chose to adopt Bill. He came with a, a background that wasn't really that desirable. Kind of like us, in a way. We come to Christ with a background that isn't all that desirable. The Bible states that the heart of man is deceitful and his thoughts are evil. The thought that you're okay and I'm okay actually is not okay. I'm not okay. I need to be changed. We talked about that a little bit in Sabbath school. Had a wonderful time in Sabbath school, really, talking about the truths that we know to be true and where they're from and what can change your life. God's word with his spirit can change your life. and needs to change your life? Will Bill need to be changed? I'd love to tell you he went into that family that he was adopted into and immediately straightened up and did well in school and was happy and everything was swell. Actually, that didn't happen. He exhibited some of the same behaviors, told them he didn't want to be there at their house. Now, their house was a wonderful place. Three good meals, loving parents who really cared about him and wanted a son. Didn't make much difference to him, though, because he wanted his own way. And as the years went on, and he got to be a teenager, wasn't any better. It was worse. Eventually, Bill joined the Marines and didn't have a lot of contact with his parents, his adopted parents. But as he matured a little and realized what his parents sacrificed to adopt him and went through him all the trials he had in school and fights and contact with the police and lots of things, he realized that he was a very blessed and fortunate person to have had someone to want to adopt him into their family. And you know, he went and saw his parents. He got home on leave, and he realized that a lot of other people didn't have his parents as good as he did. And he came to them, and he was sorry. Told them he was sorry for what kind of life he had given them, the trials that he had given them. And as he matured, he had a great amount of respect and love for his parents, and their relationship got to be healed and really, really good. In a way, that's our relationship with God, too. It's rocky at times. We rebel. We want our own way. God shows us what's best for us. Christ went through all kinds of temptations. He shows us what's best for us. He tells us clearly, but we back away. Not because he doesn't love us, not because he doesn't know what's best for us, it's because self gets in the way. I'd like us to turn to a couple more texts. Let's look up 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now I will tell you, you can choose by your works not to be adopted. After all, if we clearly, in Deuteronomy, it talks about, Moses talks about that God has called Israel out of Egypt, out of the world. Egypt, lots of times in the Bible, is depicted as the world, just like Babylon is sometimes. The secular world out there is referred to. And God called Abraham. They eventually went into bondage, but he called them back out of Egypt, just like he promised. He called them back out of Egypt to be his own children, his own country, after his own character. And they were supposed to share that with the rest of the world. Now they chose to not be adopted by their actions. They broke that covenant. They broke that relationship. They chose to come away. And what did he do? Keep calling them back. Keep wanting them to be a part. John 1 and verse 12. I'd like us to be able to see just that there's a spiritual battle going on for each one of our lives. There's a battle going on. And I would like us to be able to see that we have a part to play, but that God continually calls us back. John 1 and verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." Look over that verse just a little bit. "But as many as received him." He's not going to force us to become his adopted children. He's not going to force us. "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God." So how do we receive our perceived adopted father in heaven? I'd like us to go to Luke 15. Luke 15. And verse 11, these are Christ's words. I'll start with verse 11. I'm going to read the story and comment just a couple times on it. "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. I'm sorry. And he divided them unto his, he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." In other words, regardless of what he had, no one would share with him. There was a great famine. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.'" He humbled himself before his father. That verse we read last, "as many as received him." This is the son receiving his father and saying, I am your son, but I'm sorry. Repentance has a part to play in our Christian spirituality, our relationship. It's God is calling us, but he's calling us to do something, to repent, to change, to do something with our life. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. Regardless of what some of the religious pundits out there would like us to believe, we need to be humbled. We need God to change our life, who we are. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. God wants to give us the best. He wants us to be adopted sons. We have our responsibility is partially to accept that. Accept him as a father. Accept the gift. But we can turn it away. But God is still there. You notice when he was a far way off, his father had compassion on him and ran and couldn't wait to put his arms around us. That's God with us. We sometimes have a problem with looking at God as an exacting parent who can accept nothing but advanced behavior. If you aren't a 4.0, a star in everything you do, you just better start trying harder. The righteousness that Christ offers us is the help through getting into his word and finding out who he is and having it change your life. And when you fail, he is ready to compassionately embrace you and welcome you back as a son and daughter of God. He's the one who is constantly trying to draw us back. We are the ones who draw away from him. Bill's parents did not draw away from him at all. He chose to go away. And when he was ready to come back, they were ready with open arms to have him be their son again. And that's how God is with us. However, think about the Israelites and this covenant they made with God. Whatever you say, God will do. And then they would go away and be led into idol worship and all kinds of things. But whenever a king or a prophet would try to lead them back into obedience, it was amazing. God would then again accept them back and bless them. I'd like us to go to Hosea 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Christ is constantly calling us. I'd like to read something from the Second Testimonies, page 441. Christ's followers are required to come out from the world and be separate. Touch not the unclean. They have the promise of being sons and daughters of the Most High, members of the royal family. But if the conditions are not complied with on their part, they will not, cannot realize the fulfillment of that promise. A profession of Christianity is nothing in the sight of God, but true, humble, willing obedience to his requirements, designate the children of his adoption. He wants to adopt us. And he wants us to be faithful. And he has the power to make that happen through the power of his word. The Israelites, over and over again, had the power within them to be blessed above all nations if they continued to choose him as their adoptive father. He wasn't rejecting them. By their behavior, they were rejecting him. And he calls us. Let's go to Matthew 18. And 12 to 14. Matthew 18 and verse 12 to 14. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? So, we've chosen not to follow God. You notice that sheep isn't trying to run home. God is calling it back. God is looking for it. That's how we need to view God, that God is doing everything possible to have us return to Him and be a son and daughter of God. And if so, be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. But so it is not that the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. You know, there's a certain kernel of truth there. One time I had this heifer, and she weighed probably 300 or 400 pounds. And she got her leg caught between where they reached through to feed. It was out in the heifer barn and the stalls where they can reach through and feed individually so that they can't push each other out of their spot. They can all get the amount they should get. And she, one time I heard her kind of bawling out in the heifer barn, and I went out there, and somehow, maybe another animal pushing her or something, they had pushed the head gate forward just enough to slip her rear leg, her right rear leg, through between these metal head gates and the concrete curbing. And there was only about an inch space there. But somehow she had pushed hard enough to make that steel partition bow out, got her leg in there. And she'd really done damage, just pulled all the hide off and right to the bone. It was really a bad, bad injury. Well, I got a big bar so I could pry that back out so I could get her leg out. We brought her in the barn and put her in her own pen and gave her penicillin and babied her. My wife named her Smarty. I wasn't thinking she was so smart when she got her leg caught in there, but she did have a certain sense of curiosity that was all right. Well, it took her actually several months to heal from that bad decision. It took her several months to heal. But in the meantime, because she's in this pen by herself and she's got this injury, you know, you kind of get attached. A little more so than maybe some of the ones that are running around. They're all healthy and doing good. And she recently had her third calf. And there's still a big, I'll call it a big scar. It's more than a scar. You can see there was quite an injury there on her leg. She can walk fine. But I have to admit, I look at that sometimes and maybe give her an extra pat because she made it through. You know what I mean? You have a little attachment. You put a lot of effort into this one animal, so you end up with a little more attachment to it in a way. So this story of rejoicing over the one that came home, I can kind of relate to a little bit. And God is looking at each one of us like that one that comes back, because we've all gone astray. We're all like the one. None of us have stayed in the pen. We aren't the 99, let me assure you. We haven't stayed following the shepherd real close. We're the one, and we're the one that he's especially relating to. God is calling us all with our life to recognize and accept that we are adopted and that we can stay in that relationship by staying in the Word and ordering our character and getting to know Christ good enough so that we can follow after his character, be changed, not from who we're born as, but who he'd like to change us into. He has, after all, predestined every single one of us to be his permanent sons and daughters. Dear Lord, there is power in your blood. There's power in your word. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I pray that we'd accept the forgiveness that's offered in your blood, but also accept the power that's offered in your word. We pray this in your name, amen.